Celebrating the written word, this is The County Writes, The County Reads, with Lynn Pickering on 99.3 County FM.
Welcome to the show. Later, I'll be speaking to Ken Fagelman, who wrote an article in the current issue of County Magazine entitled, The Mysterious Mythical Marysburg Vortex. He plans to bring some high-tech equipment to the county to search for downed ships and airplanes. But first, Christopher Bolton reads, The Vortex Devours the Waffle.
On September 22, 1919, wreckage of an apparent wooden steamer washes ashore off Oswego, New York. Included in the flotsam are 9-inch life preservers, each stenciled with T.J. Waffle. Also discovered on the rocky promontory are the doomed vessel's deckhouse with an attached fire axe, as well as mattresses, pillows, oars, and shattered lifeboat davits. Even the lost ship's helm and attached steering chain are discovered, all evidence of a catastrophic incident. Built in Westport, Ontario in 1914 on the Rideau Lake system by master shipwright Joseph Paradis, under contract by two local brothers, William and Walter Waffle, the wooden 112-foot-long steam-powered barge was designed specifically for transporting cargo to shallow water ports up and down the Rideau system, including to and from Ottawa. Thus, Mr. Paradis specifically designed and constructed the wooden hull in the format of a scow barge, including a flat, rectangular bottom, a square stern, and a slightly sloped bow. With a top speed of only 6 miles per hour, with no cargo hatches and an open hold, a displacement of about 202 tons, a beam of 22 feet, and just 8 feet in depth, the T.J. Waffle was the perfectly designed vessel for plying the relatively shallow, calm waters of the Rideau system, where wave height seldom exceeds 2 feet. The ungainly wooden steamer, when fully laden, had a draft of less than 3 feet. Walter Waffle christened the vessel T.J. Waffle, after his 15-year-old son, Thomas John. Walter Waffle received a dreaded telegram on March 16, 1916, announcing that his beloved son, Thomas John, aged only 17 years, had been tragically killed in action, World War I, on a battlefield in France. Shortly after the sudden loss of his son, Walter decided to sell his namesake, T.J. Waffle, to the Swift shipping family on Kingston for $12,000. Being unreliable in stature and appearance, and definitely not designed for life on a freshwater sea like Lake Ontario, it was odd that the Swifts engaged the Waffle to haul relatively small loads of coal from either Fairhaven or Oswego, New York, back to Kingston. Her captain was Charles Beaupré. His first mate was Marshall Switzer of Kingston. There were at least 4 other itinerant crew members on board, paid in cash. Their names were never officially registered in the ship's log. It is believed that a William Sweet was hired as a ship's mate for the journey, as was his wife Elizabeth. The ship's engineer may have been Russell David of Picton. There also appears to have been at least 1 other unnamed crew member on board, and possibly another 2. September 23, 1919, James Swift, president of Swift & Sons, owners of the ill-fated steam barge, sat nervously in his Kingston office on a gloomy, overcast afternoon, anxiously awaiting word of the now 16 hours overdue vessel. telephone calls across the lake confirmed that the wooden steamer had taken on 249 tons of coal in Fairhaven, New York, and was last seen departing for her home port of Kingston at about 10 a.m. on Monday the 22nd. The crew of the steam tug, the Muscalons, believe that they may have sighted the Waffle at around 5:30 p.m., plowing through dangerously high whitecaps in a northeasterly heading, and possibly changing course to a southbound heading for an unknown safe haven. Neither the TJ Waffle nor her doomed crew of 6 to 8 souls was ever again to be seen. Only those who perished aboard the unseaworthy little wooden steamer knew what calamity truly occurred, causing their imminent demise, as well as that of the TJ Waffle. The answers may rest, ultimately, on the deep, dark bed of Eastern Lake Ontario. Due to the nature and significant dimensions of the scattered flotsam which washed ashore on that bleak September day, some have speculated that there may have occurred a traumatic explosion of the vessel's coal-fired steam boiler, possibly, as she foundered in 5 to 6 foot high seas. As no explosion was reported by those on land or aboard other nearby vessels, there is also supposition that the unfortunate little steam barge, designed not for the ravages of an angry Lake Ontario and overburdened with a heavy load of coal, riding dangerously low in savage seas, simply gave up, capsized, and was battered to bits, large and small. Her overtaxed boiler may even have catastrophically burst as the unforgiving, frigid waters engulfed the sinking wooden ship. Until someone can positively identify a long-drowned debris field, including, possibly, a rusted old steam boiler, intact or not, will we truly learn of the fate of the TJ Waffle and its crew of 6 to 8 unfortunate doomed souls devoured by the Marysburg vortex.
That was Christopher Bolton reading The Vortex Devours the Waffle, found in the current issue of County Magazine. You're listening to The County Writes, The County Reads. I'm Lynn Pickering, and now I'm joined by Ken Fagelman, the author of a spread in County Magazine, The Mysterious Mythical Marysburg Vortex. Ken is co-founder of Deep Quest 2 Expeditions, and the aim is to search for sunken history. Welcome to The County Writes, The County Reads, Ken.
Thank you, Lynn.
We just heard Christopher Bolton read the tragic story of the TJ Waffle steam barge that sank in 1919. But before we talk about others, tell me how you became interested in this area off the shores of Prince Edward County, Ken.
Yes, thanks again. I relocated to the Quinte area with my family, my very young family, in 1979. And one of the reasons I chose to live in the area was because being a diver, and I knew of the plethora of shipwrecks beneath Quinte area waters in the area now known by some as the so-called Marysburg Vortex. I've been a diver since age 13, which was a long time ago. I just turned 75 2 weeks ago today. And I've always been interested in shipwrecks. Ultimately, I received a doctorate degree in marine history in South Carolina back in the, my God, a million years ago, in the early 70s.
And so you've always been interested in that field of endeavor. But why don't you explain the area that is designated as the Marysburg Vortex?
Right. The Marysburg Vortex, a.k.a. The Lake Ontario Triangle, analogous, I guess, to the Bermuda Triangle. If you draw a line from Point Peter in the county across Lake Ontario southward to Oswego, New York, then from Oswego, draw a line back to the northeast to Kingston, And from Kingston back to the county, you have this imaginary triangle. Within this so-called triangle is this mythical, mysterious Marysburg vortex, in which there rest well over 450 shipwrecks, of which about only 20% have been discovered to date.
Yes, I saw that you wrote that in the article, that there's 80% sunken ships down planes as well, aircraft, yet to be discovered. Can you just describe some of them? We heard, of course, Christopher talk about the T.J. Waffle, but there was also the Ocean Wave, and that was in 1853. What's the story behind that?
Well, before, if you don't mind, Lynn, before I go on to the Ocean Wave, I'd like to expand a bit on the Waffle. I've got some exciting news.
Perfect.
Some friends of mine in upstate New York who will be working with me off the county this summer, Tim Kaz and Dennis Gerber, expert shipwreck researchers, stumbled upon what appears to be a debris field, the remains of the tragic Waffle, about a year or so ago. They stumbled upon it accidentally, and no one knew where the Waffle had gone down. It was quite a mystery. They found the debris field. You can see the boiler. The boiler's intact. So the theory about the boiler exploding and killing everybody on board is not true. The vessel obviously went down in a very severe storm. It looks like it was headed to the lee of Main Duck Island, although it had sailed out of, or steamed out of New York State, out of Fairhaven with a big load of coal heading for Kingston. She couldn't handle the tempest. It looks like she tried to head to the lee of Main Dock Island, as I said, didn't make it, and sunk about 7 or 8 kilometers off Main Dock Island in about 110 feet of water, with a total loss of 6 to 8 souls. No one's really sure how many people were on board.
Thank you for bringing us up to date. That's very exciting. So let's go to, as I said, one of the other tragedies mentioned in your article, and that's the Ocean Wave in 1853, right. And that was passenger and cargo steamer.
Yes, the Ocean Wave, it went down April 29th, 1853, not too far from Point Traverse in the county. And it was a sidewheeler, so it was a steam-driven sidewheeler, meaning there was basically a paddle wheel on either side of the ship. It was carrying passengers and various cargo, including tallow. Now, the vessel had a wood-burning boiler on board, and embers from the boiler ended up igniting the cargo, apparently, the tallow. And you can imagine how that, what that resulted in. Mm-hmm. The vessel was a wooden vessel, so you combine sparks and burning tallow and wood, and you have a recipe for disaster. The vessel went down, took 28 souls with it. It was a relatively new ship owned by the Molson family, the famous Molson family in Montreal. And apparently it was heading from Toronto to Montreal with passengers, cargo, and also a purser safe full of gold and silver and cash belonging to the Molson family, destined for the Bank of Montreal. So, of course, needless to say, rumors persist to this day by so-called treasure hunters that the safe is still on board. We don't believe that's true. We're pretty sure that the astute Molson family would have hired hard hat divers in the day to go and recover the safe. Now, soon after the vessel went down, the body of the ship's purser was found on the shore of upstate New York, again, not too far from Oswego, and he had a money belt on him full of cash.
So many stories, and when you talk about 400 ships and other wreckage down there, it's quite obvious why it's called the Graveyard of Lake Ontario. You have an explanation in your article, which starts, "While myths of a mysterious vortex are most enticing, the truth is far less mystical." What is the truth?
Well, I don't know if there's a singular truth, so I would say there's a multitude of truths, okay? It is a very treacherous swath of Lake Ontario body of water, prone to severe tempests and storms. You have to realize it's where Lake Ontario begins to narrow and rises from the depths, basically, becomes shallower. And ultimately, as it reaches Kingston, becomes, of course, the St. Lawrence River. So there's some strange anomalies that result because of this blend of issues, you might say. You've also got a major crater caused by a meteorite hit in the area about 460-odd million years ago at the bottom of the lake, and it's called the Charity Shoal Crater. Now, because it was more than likely a major meteorite hit, the crater would consist of various elements and minerals, including nickel and iron. And we all know what iron does to magnets and, of course, to compasses. So you can imagine the compasses on some of the ships would start spinning around and going off course or going off kilter, causing the ship's captains to go off course. And if they were in foul weather or nighttime or a fog and you went off course, more than likely you're going to either run onto a shoal or a rocky reef and goodbye vessel. So that's one reason of many why there are so many shipwrecks. Again, you have severe weather. Many of the storms out of the southwest would just batter the vessels and do a job on them. Or out of the northeast, which was the case of the Waffle, why it got battered more than likely and went down in splinters to the bottom of the lake. Then you have other factors, human error and greed, running well too late in the year, November, December, before the lake froze up, with very heavy cargoes and getting hit by the storms of that time of the year. And again, recipe for disaster. Then you have vessels which also should not have been on the lake. They were decrepit. Maybe they weren't very well taken care of or not in the best shape when they were constructed. And they would, of course, end up on the bottom of the lake. So there's no one reason. There's a multitude of reasons. But there is no vortex. The Marysburg vortex is a myth. The name itself was begat in 1980 by the late author Hugh Cochran in his book, Gateway to Oblivion. That's where, for the first time, we know that the Marysburg vortex nomenclature came to be. And Cochran was a big believer in Bermuda Triangle and astrology, crystal pyramids, and such like. So, yes, it sounds kind of exciting, romantic, and cool. There is no vortex in the region, to my knowledge. There's no vortices in the area. It is just a very, very dangerous portion of Lake Ontario as it becomes the St. Lawrence River in Kingston.
Now, your aim, your company, is searching for sunken history. Can you talk about what you'll be doing this summer off the shores of Prince Edward County and the new technologies that enable you to access many of these previously undiscovered wrecks?
Sure. Thank you for asking. Actually, our mandate of Deep Quest 2 expeditions is exploring the water planet. Part of that is to search for sunken history. So I'm pleased to announce over the air today that the project off the county this season will be called Operation Vortex 2022 in Search of Sunken History. And as you alluded to, Lynn, we will be searching for previously unfound sunken ships off the county. Now, as a sidebar, we're going to go out to the Ocean Wave, the big steamer that went down with 28 lives lost, and so on and so forth, the Molson vessel. We're going to send an ROV, a remote operated vehicle, inside the wreck, which lies at about 160 feet of water. And we're going to have the ROV swim inside the vessel, which would be way too dangerous for divers to do. It'll illuminate the interior the best it can of the vessel and record everything it sees. So for the first time ever, hopefully, the public will see what the interior of the infamous Ocean Wave looks like that went down off Point Traverse off the county so many years ago. But primarily, yes, we're going to search for previously unfound shipwrecks adjacent to the county at various depths. We'll be using my friends in the States who found the Waffle debris field, or I should say the purported Waffle debris field, They'll be coming up here a few times with me this season with their boat, and it is specifically outfitted to look for shipwrecks. It'll have state-of-the-art side-scan sonar, which is what we use primarily to find the wrecks. When you get a hit and you see the outline of a shipwreck on the screen on board your boat, your vessel, then we send down an ROV or a couple of ROVs, which again stands for a remote operated vehicle. They will swim around, they will illuminate the vessel or vessels plural, and they will record what we see. At that point, then we make a decision. Do we send a diver down to have a look at it, or do we have enough information based on what the ROV or ROVs plural have spotted? I should state that any and all data information that we glean through our research and work off the county this summer with Operation Vortex will be provided in Picton to the Marine Naval Archive so that they will have this information in their archives for perpetuity. We're not out there to look for treasure. We're not there to recover artifacts. We are there simply to explore and hopefully to discover and record some of the sunken history of Prince Edward County.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting project, Ken, and we'll be following along with interest. When do you expect to get underway?
We should be on the lake, weather permitting, in the latter half of May. So let's say roughly in less than a month's time. And we'll be actually operating out of the Wapoose area. We'll be berthing the vessel at Wapoose Marina. That'll be our base of operations in the county for this season.
Well, thanks very much for speaking to me today.
My pleasure, Lynn. I thank you for your interest.
I've been speaking to Ken Fagelman of Deep Quest II Expeditions. You can read The Mysterious Mythical Marysburg Vortex in the current issue of County Magazine. It's available in Picton at Books & Company and Canadian Tire, in Bloomfield at County Magazine and the local store, in Wellington at Side Street Gallery and Wellington Pharmacy, in the south end at the store in Cherry Valley, and in the north end at Campbell's Orchards and the Hamlet store in Consequon. And of course, you can always subscribe. Just go to countymagazine.ca. Stay with 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.